is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. You have to excuse me. I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat today. I don't know why, but maybe I was shouting too much last week. Who knows? But I am just back from New York. I was out there for this month is Earth Month. I was out there for Earth Day and Earth Week. Hopefully you caught up with the show where I spoke with and caught up with Rebecca Irby, who sits on the United Nations Committee for NGOs, which is an amazing position because she's able to influence and stimulate decision making for the UN, which is this incredibly enormous, far-reaching cooperation of all kinds of people, ranging from, you know, leaders, most importantly, nation state leaders, so the prime ministers and presidents of the world, down to business leaders, down to NGOs, down to indigenous leaders, indigenous community leaders. So that was an incredible, incredible week. Just lots of wonderful, wonderful interactions with amazing people. One of the things that really stood out for me, I was in the United Nations General Assembly, which is, if you ever see Antonio Guterres, which is the General Secretariat, the man in charge, really, of the UN, and he often speaks from this place. So he spoke and introduced, it was the Indigenous Peoples Forum, which also happens during Earth Week. And it happened to be on the Tuesday before Earth Day, so the 21st. And it was the opening day. And he spoke, and I looked around the room, and there was just a plethora of amazing indigenous peoples from all around the world, all dressed in their cultural clothes. I'm trying to think of the word there. I didn't want to be disrespectful, but it was amazing. You know, there were people, men and women, with headdresses of feathers and all kinds of different hats and colors, and it was just absolutely beautiful. But one of the monumental moments was at the very end, after everybody had spoken, an abuela called Martha, who actually performed for us in New York in Times Square on Earth Day on the 22nd, she sang in that auditorium, in that conference assembly room. And it was just, I feel like it was a pivotal moment in time where, you know, the abuelos, the indigenous peoples actually have a voice in this complex time that we're living in right now. I mean, it is certainly a complex time for sure. There's a lot of disruption and chaos going on in the world, but there's a lot of also, and people feeling insecure and worried, depending on what part of the world you're in. So I just wanted to highlight that. Please do catch up with the show from last week because it was really, really amazing. And for me, this is, we're not going to have a guest this week. I wanted to share a little bit about a new project that I launched in New York last week for Earth Day. So it was officially launched on Earth Day. But let me just start with this. So this journey, it didn't start with a platform or a planet. It started years ago when I found myself right in the middle of mainstream media working on, well, actually, I was a chosen subject matter for a show on Channel 4 called Dumped, which was an experiment that stripped life back to the basics and, asked a powerful question: what do we actually need to live well on this planet? When we throw stuff away, where is away? And can a community survive in an environment that we're not used to? It kind of brought up all of those questions. And this was back in 2006. This experience, as you can probably imagine, really, really stayed with me because it wasn't just about, survival for me. Of course, it wasn't nearly as extreme as people living in this environment for forever. But we had to live on a landfill. And highlight what is one person's waste as another person's gold. And they gave us various different scenarios of food each week. The first week we were given food that an average family would throw away in a year. Would you believe it was at that time about £800 worth of food? It's gone up to about £1,200 now. So that's what an average family would throw away in a year. So we were given that amount of food in the first week, and that was what we had survived on. We built somewhere to sleep and to cook and to go to the toilet and to have a shower. And we built this kind of solar powered shower, which had a copper tank which would heat up during the day from the sun. Luckily, it was sunny, so it was really interesting. We were able to have this kind of warm shower by week two. So the second week, in terms of food, they brought us what was it? Badly packaged food. So food that was really, really badly packaged and processed. So these were cereals, crisps, donuts, that kind of stuff. It was a very, very unhealthy week. And then the third week, they brought us what an average supermarket would throw away on a daily basis. Now, remember, this is back in 2006. A lot of supermarkets have actually made provisions now to get this food to the homeless, to food banks, etc., etc. But back then, it certainly wasn't. It was 20 years ago. And so that week, as you can imagine, was abundant. We had all this fruit and veg that we were able to carve and cook and really detoxify ourselves from the other food that we'd had the week before. But so it was a monumental shift for me. It was a massive, massive wake-up call. And I remember there was a moment after the 2 and a half, actually coming close to the 3 weeks of being living on this landfill in Croydon with 10 other people, for Channel 4. It was all televised. It had the Big Brother slots at 9 p.m. The day after Big Brother stopped that particular year. So it had a high retention. I think there was 3 to 6 million people that watched the show on various days. There were four, if not five, episodes, something like that. This is 20 years ago now, so I'm slightly recasting. But what I do remember is this: is that on the third week, the local dustbin truck went round the local streets, picked up the rubbish as it does, all of our homes every week. Picked up the rubbish, drove to our site, and dumped the contents of the week's trash onto our landfill. Literally, like on our home, this place that we created home. And we had to dress up in protective clothing, a mask, white kind of overalls, gloves, the whole thing. And we had to start siphoning through this rubbish. And we had to decide, there were three bins. We had to decide, could it be recycled, could it be composted, or did it have to go to landfill? And so we were picking up this stuff, and obviously, You'd see plastic, and at that time, most plastic couldn't be recycled, so that went had to go back to landfill. Obviously, if you see kind of things that are tea bags or things like that, that could be compostable. But there are also, really, really awful stuff as well. I mean, yeah, anything that we throw away, right? Lots of packaging, the whole thing. Now, after about 20 minutes of doing this, I began to feel really sick. I got a really, really bad headache. I was feeling nauseous. That feeling that you have after a really big over alcohol consumption night out, the day after, it was just awful. So I'd committed to camera that I was going to go and release this toxicity. Now, just the caveat I will share with you, before I went on to this show, I'd actually trained with a female shaman indigenous to the UK, and her name was Judith. She lived in Willesden Green, was the most extraordinarily shaman, yogi, and sacred sound expert. And I had trained with her for 14 years in the arts of yoga, meditation, mysticism, energy healing, sound therapy, but also shamanism. So shamanism is essentially beings that are able to communicate with nature, and nature essentially gives us the clues or the plants or the medicines that can heal whatever it might be. So I was trained indigenously to the UK in that system. Most people, when you think about shamans, they think about, South America. They think about ayahuasca, psilocybin journeys, things like that. And there was none of that. It was very intense yoga practice, meditation practice, visiting sacred sites, and really connecting with the earth and learning about the herbal medicinal qualities that the earth gives us. So there were loads of stuff in the UK. There's plants that reduce blood pressure, that can get rid of nausea, get rid of headaches, etc., etc. So I learned and kind of trained in those principles. But the biggest gift that I got from that training was not only becoming still enough to be able to listen, i.e., to those subtle frequencies that we all feel, but we might not necessarily be still enough to respond to. Not only did I get to experience that, but I also began to, for me, this is my experience, it began to feel like what I was feeling and picking up in terms of vibrations, that something was communicating with me at a level that was trying to help me pass this message on to the outside world. So I'd had that training before I went on to this TV show. That was just a kind of a caveat to this bit I'm going to tell you. So getting back to the dump now, and the cameras are on me, and I'd committed to camera that I was going to go and release these toxins. I laid down on the earth, and because I had training in this, I began to breathe and gather up all the toxicity in my being, and then exhale and release this toxicity into the earth. Now, with hindsight, I probably wouldn't do that in the way that I did it then, because I'm 20 years evolved since then. But that was the practice that I had then. So it's gathering, 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 ca ca gathering up through your breath the toxicity, all of the kind of negative impacts of how I was feeling, and then laying on the floor, releasing that into the earth. And that's what I did. So I did multiple breaths of that and began to feel lighter. And then what happens is I then would take a deep breath in from the earth to replenish, rejuvenate, re-enliven my physical and energetic being to become back to, clarity and non-toxic, etc. To be healed maybe in that moment. And as I did that, I took a huge deep breath in. As I did that, I heard these words, and I felt like I'd been hit by a bolt of lightning. It was like a real kind of shock system. And as that happened, after that, I heard these words: "How you are feeling is how I feel. I'm sick, and I need your help to tell people." And I genuinely felt like I'd been spoken to by this, living, breathing, conscious being that we call Earth. Some call Gaia, and there were various other beautiful names. But That moment there was my wake up call. It was the moment where firstly, I cried because it was so intense, and secondly, I committed to Kenwood that I would dedicate my life's work to inspiring and educating and empowering people about this thing that we now know is a climate crisis on the human level. We are calling this a climate crisis. So that was my kind of epiphany moment, and I then went on to understand that this wasn't about survival, it was about our relationship to the earth. I eventually launched what is now known as My Green Pod, which is the UK's leading ethical lifestyle and sustainable business magazine. It's now global, it reaches 10 million people. I launched this with my lovely wife, Katie Hill, who is the editor-in-chief. She does most of the writing for the magazine and the website and everything else, and my role is really bringing on board the relationships and the partnerships, and giving it a bit of a commercial model by selling positions in the magazine as we have to do to run a business. But what My Green Pod is, it's a platform to tell the stories of people, pioneers, and leaders who are trying to do things differently, to live and work, hopefully in harmony with nature. I mean, there's no such thing as perfect, but there are better ways. So there are ways that are solutions and not problems to the way that we do things. And over the years, I've had a front row seat, really, working with business leaders, policy makers, change makers, people with influence and power and resources. And what I've found is that often, not always, but often these people feel disconnected from nature. So what we've done in our business model at My Green Pod is try to come up with those stories where we can enhance the relationship that is missing, I believe, through people and nature. I will be back with more of the story in a moment. So stick with us. I shall be coming back to this, the launch of this wonderful new movement that is happening. But I'm just giving a bit of a build up to the story. See you back here in a sec.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Jarvis Smith here from Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. Apologies, we had just had that technical issue, but just picking up where I left off, I was talking about My Green Pod that my wife and I had set up back in 2013, which was a reincarnation of previous magazines that we'd done with National Geographic Green and The Guardian. And then my wife and I went it alone and we decided to do something ourselves. So, yeah, for those of you out there that were wanting to just get more clued up, please do go to mygreenpod.com and just have a search, have a look around, read some of the stories, get into things that you're already interested in, because then it will enhance what you already love. And I do believe that's the best way to get involved in becoming more of a sustainable ambassador for the world and leaning more into clean. But what I wanted to really move on to from there is, because of this work that my wife and I have done in terms of media, we meet a lot of brands, we meet a lot of the founders of these organizations, in fact nearly all of them. And what we find is they're an amazing set of people out there that are wanting to do business in a commercial global world that is, completely dysfunctional in the grand scheme of things, i.e., we use up, would you believe? Let's take America, for example. They use up 12 months' resources in 4 months, i.e., they take more from the earth in 4 months than they should be taking in the whole of the 12 months. So in the fifth month, you go into deficit. Now, obviously, the knock-on effect of that is huge. What does that mean? It means we're using the world's resources more than she can rejuvenate or regenerate. That is the big issue. Every single business on this planet, every single service, every single commodity, every single product, it all comes from nature. Everything. Think about it. The biggest industries, oil, We all know about oil right now. The prices are going up dramatically because of, this kind of, vicious land grab situation that's going on, an oil grab. I mean, that's been the common state of affairs around conflict for years. There's always been a kind of monetary agenda, often, not always, often behind them. So the point of this is we've met the most amazing people that are making a difference in the world today. And what I found was is that there's I can't really put it exactly into words, but the way that they lead and the way they invest and the way they make decisions, for me, a kind of deeper question emerged. And it was, the decisions that you're making, are you including nature? Are you including Mother Nature? Are you including the Earth's resources in those decisions? Now, often people are, but there was still a little bit of a mismatch. So what I did is I started to use the training that I had with my shamanic yogic teacher and take that training into boardrooms and into environments where business leaders who wanted that edge in the commercial abilities of sustainability, I take them through a, I guess, a retreat, is the best way to call it, but basically a 3 to 4 day process of helping them through skills and tools to reconnect with nature. So just to give you an example, I might train somebody in the art of breathing, and just kind of taking that to the next stage of meditation. And then through the meditation, being able to create the ability to have a clear, still mind. And then the next stage of that would be then to be open with that access point to be able to receive information beyond your mind or beyond the information that we would get through TV or talking to somebody else, etc. So that would be a set of tools that would allow people to engage in and go through that process. Now, often we do it in within nature. So you get people sitting on the floor or standing on the floor. We get people listening to the song of bird, the wind in the trees, whatever it might be within that environment, and truly get people to open up their hearts and open up their energetic field. Maybe you might want to call that the aura, and really allow your energy field to become one with the earth's energy field, and therefore you're receiving and transmitting the same information. Now, I believe that that is something that we have lost as human beings. Not everybody, but a lot of people. Why? Because we've been born into a system that literally keeps us separate from it. Why does it keep us separate from it? So we can continue to consume in the way that we consume. Because if we don't continue to consume in the way that we consume, then this business model of global business model of commercialization and economics basically falls flat on its face. Now, who's benefiting from global economics? It's big businesses. It's the tech companies. It's governments. It's oil companies. The list does go on. Of course, there's the big food companies, etc., etc. I'm pretty confident in all the research that I've done through the years that I've been involved in this, which is, as I said, 20 plus years, is I'm pretty confident when you are only considering the bottom line, which is called profit, and not taking other things into consideration, there is a lot of dysfunctionality and possibly even harm to health of planet and people that happens if you only care about the bottom line, if you only care about profit. So I started working with business leaders that actually have companies that give purpose to profit. So they are companies that might produce, I don't know, organic food or organic creams or organic shampoos or things like that. And there's multiple versions of these types of products that are less harmful to you, number one, most important, to your family and your kids, very, very important, but also to the planet. So there are products that you can go out and you can buy these products that are either labeled with organic or it possibly fair trade if that's your thing, or vegan if that's your thing. There were a bunch of sets of products out there that are at least less harmful to you. The ideal situation is either don't buy anything at all, because you can actually find it by making it or reusing something else. Or if you have to buy something, get it secondhand, from eBay or from, thrifting, basically. I was trying to think what the other is. It Vint or that other? I use eBay, but anyway, there is another one that I know a lot of people are using. But charity shops, things like that. So essentially, I mean, did you know that if you were to think about the fashion industry, there is already on this earth between, and the numbers vary depending on who you ask, between 7 and 10 generations of clothes already made on this planet. But try and tell that to the fashion companies who are consistently making new clothes for every season. I mean, it's just utter craziness. So, because of that, because of working with leaders, working with business leaders, I've worked with people in government, I've worked with people at the UN, I've worked with people in organizations, entrepreneurs, all kinds of people, probably about 1,000, I would say, to date, working in this way of trying to teach them to reconnect with our natural environment through sacred tools of meditation and yoga and barefoot walking and forest bathing and all kinds of stuff. That's essentially what I did. And now the reason why I'm mentioning this is because I actually found that when people reconnect with nature and it becomes a relationship like your best friend, and actually even better, that you realize you are nature, there is no separation between you and it, then people make much, much better choices. So this has been a 20-year-odd journey of exploring for myself, for our family, for people around us, and for the wider picture. And I must tell you that My Green Pod, although it started in 2013, our previous magazines launched in 2008, we have reached, if not, I mean, I would say probably hundreds of millions, but definitely tens of millions, bordering up to hundreds of millions, because we used to publish with a National Geographic, and that had a 3-point-something million readership. Then we published with The Guardian, and that had a 2.5 million readership. And now we go out completely independent. But what's happened is we've moved from a physical magazine to a digital magazine. And as you know, with a digital magazine, you can actually reach a lot more people. So the mag magazine that we publish today at mygreenpod.com goes out to 10 million people. It goes out to everybody that's part of Earth Day. It goes out to everybody that's part of Olio. It goes out, or did go out, to Yo Valley customers. We've slightly changed that relationship now, but it goes out to people that are interested in electric vehicles through Fully Charged, people that are interested in movements and NGOs like the Soil Association. It's huge. We built a massive, massive repertoire of distributors that share our magazine through their databases to the audience. So, be part of this movement. Go to mygreenpod.com, sign up, subscribe, get your news. If you do subscribe, you can actually get the physical mag oh, sorry, the digital magazine, which comes out every 2 months, straight to your inbox. In fact, I'm just about to send out the Earth Day magazine to everybody because I was away last week. So if you do sign up at mygreenpod.com/subscribe, or just go to the subscribe button, you will actually get the latest issue of the My Green Pod magazine, which was for Earth Day, which came out last week. Now, this is a moment. I'm going to just take a big breath. I'm going to ask my lovely producer, Johan, to play our first song. And when I come back after this song, I'm going to tell you about what all of these life experiences that I've had have brought me to. And we have actually launched a brand new project movement which launched on Earth Day. I'm going to be sharing that with you after the break. It wasn't my idea, actually, which is really interesting. It was one of my mentor's ideas. So I'll be sharing just who that was and how it came about. So don't go away. We're going to play this beautiful song. It's actually Michael Jackson's Earth Song, because I just think this artist was a phenomenally groundbreaking artist in so many ways. But this particular song, I heard him say in an interview that he received it as a download when he was sitting in a tree. This is Earth Song by Michael Jackson. Such a beautiful, powerful, emotional, heartfelt song. I love that. It's every time I hear it. It's funny, I put it on the other day because I just wanted to re-listen to it, and my children said, "Oh, it's a sad song." And I said, "Well, it is, but it's also it's an invitation. It's an invitation for us to remember that we are part of Earth." I mean, isn't it extraordinary that we do all this damage to our planet without even really realizing it? We just kind of get on with our lives. But without the planet, there'd be no life. It's a complete paradox that this, I believe the Earth is a conscious living. In fact, I've felt the breath of Mother Nature. I've heard the voice of Mother Nature. So I do know this to be true for me, that this planet is a conscious living, breathing being, and we are just part of her. And she's really the great mother. Like one of the big branding exercises that we've done over the last 2 years with OMM, which is OMMM, ompresents.com, if you want to check it out, is one of the big things we've done is come up with a tagline, if you like, called Love Your Mother. I mean, the beautiful thing about that is we've all got a mother. Or certainly we've had one if she's no longer with us. But the other thing is, the great mother, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, because actually she sustains all life. She's doing the greatest mothering job on the planet. So let us not forget that. Every bit of toast we eat, every time we use our phones, every time we, go on the computer or put on some clothes or go out in the car, let's always just say thank you to Mother Nature. She, in fact, told me, and this is why I've launched this campaign and this movement that I'm going to share with you. She, in fact, told me that if we can literally raise the consciousness or the vibration or the frequency of humanity to the very simple frequency of love, gratitude, and appreciation, then she could fix this thing we're calling a climate crisis in a heartbeat, in a breath. So that's what led me to bringing this concept, this movement, this empowering connection that I'm going to announce to you very shortly. I've just realized we're going to very quickly go to a commercial break. Don't go away. I should be talking about the new movement straight after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So here we have it. I was with my mentor, and he's actually a lord in the House of Lords. His name is Andrew. He's actually recently retired. He was the CEO of M&S in that kind of time where it went from being a, relatively mediocre high street brand to becoming something phenomenal from the, kind of mid 80s to 90s to 2000s. He was the CEO of that organization. Then he took it from a £20 million company to a £200 million company, and I think today it's much, much higher than that. But anyway, so he was clearly a clever, clever guy. But what I really loved about him was we'd had a very similar experience in childhood. But he was really into meditation and mindfulness, and he took mindfulness, which we know as meditation, into Houses of Parliament. And I think the 700 odd MPs and nearly over 50% of them had actually practiced meditation and mindfulness through his inspiration. So that's the kind of guy he is, and really, really phenomenal person. He was sitting with me, and we were chatting away, and I was telling him about all the stuff I'd love to achieve, and I'd really like to, shift consciousness so people cared about the planet. And he said to me, "You know, Jarvis, if you divided up all of the land and a 20-mile radius around each country of land and sea by every person on the planet, which is 8.1 billion people, approximately, and everybody owned a bit of land, they would own 4 acres each. 4 acres per person, which was amazing." And I was like, "Wow, that is such a brilliant concept." And he said, "Well, Jarvis, if you can think of anything to do with it, I love the brand 4 Acres. It's yours." He kind of gifted it to me, and this was about 2 years ago. And I went off and I spoke to people. Funnily enough, I happened to bump into during a conference that I was at, climate conference, the head of sustainability for Google. And I spoke to her about it, certainly the head in Europe. I spoke to her about it, and she thought it was a brilliant idea, and she recommended this accelerator program. I didn't apply for it in the end because I think I decided that, perhaps it'd be better to try and do this independently. So we have launched a opportunity for every single one of you listening, and yes, that's you I'm talking to, all of you. You can now become not the owner, because obviously, nobody really should own the land, but you could become a steward of 4 acres of land somewhere randomly in the world. You couldn't choose it because I think that would create problems, but everybody that would come would get randomized a piece of land, a patch of 4 acres. Now, what does that do? It shifts, firstly, ownership, to stewardship. And, if we think about it, if we are all indigenous to planet Earth, which I absolutely believe we are, we've simply forgotten our indigenous connection, our indigenous ways, then this is an opportunity for you to become that indigenous custodian or steward of your 4 acres patch. So this is a call out to you. Go to four, the number 4 acres, ACRES. I had to think about that then. 4 acres Earth, 4 acres Earth.com. You can tap in your email address. You don't need to do anything more than that, and join our waiting list in order for you to get the first round of patches of 4 acres that we will be assigning to people. Now, it's not going to be immediately because we are together gathering the tech. But just let me tell you about the kind of idea, the movement. So you sign up and you get your 4 acres of earth. So as again, the website is 4acresearth.com. Please do it now. Just go and tap in your email address and just become join our waiting list to get your thing. Now, once you get assigned your 4 acres of earth, there will also be information that will tell you about that piece of land, where it is, what's already happening on it. And then there will be some information and education, if you like, which will tell you how you could actually steward this piece of land to make it better or more thriving or regenerate it to its highest opportunity. So we're going to be gathering in education and indigenous wisdom from the earth elders around the world, the abuelos, the mystics, the shamans. Did you know that nearly 85 to world's biodiversity is has a steward or a custodian, which is our indigenous peoples? Now, our indigenous peoples of the planet are an absolute minority, yet they are responsible for the majority of the Earth's biosphere, of the Earth's biodiversity. So they have the wisdom, the knowledge, the insight, the understanding, the practice, not just the theory, on what is best for that piece of Earth to thrive, because not only do they have a relationship with it, often they are custodians and living within it, but more importantly, they have a set of principles, these indigenous principles that we have perhaps forgotten in our minds, but they are definitely in our DNA. They can be awakened very quickly and easily. They have the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to help us remember our indigenous connection. So this whole project or movement or whatever you want to call it, is all about helping us to reconnect to Mother Nature. And I pretty much can guarantee, just through some tests and trials that I've been doing over the last 20 years, I pretty much guarantee that if we can get 1 billion people to sign up to this, it will literally transform the way that we live on the earth. Now, that is obviously a high number. But you guys that are listening now will be the early adopters, the people that care. So it's 4acresearth.com. Go and stick in your email address, join a waiting list. You'll get your first patch of 4 acres as soon as we launch the website and the platform. That is my promise to you as listeners and people that join this and come and tune into this show on a weekly basis. Please, please, please write it down, 4acresearth.com. Share it with your family. You know, it's not just for you, but it's for your mum, your dad, your auntie, your uncle, your kids. Like within your own nucleus, family nucleus, I bet there's a couple of you at the very least, if not 10, 20, 30. Maybe tell your neighbors about it. Maybe tell your friends about it. It's an opportunity and a movement for us that we really care about the planet and care about our future generations to start giving back, to start a movement that is going to help us to reconnect with our planet, reconnect with Mother Nature, reconnect with each other. And the second thing that we're doing is not only allocating 4 acres of earth to people, we will also be setting up a community around it. So say, for example, you get 4 acres and it happens to be next to Taylor Swift or next to Ed Sheeran or next to a famous politician that you love, or an actor or actress or a footballer, or you've suddenly got allocated something next to David Beckham or whoever it might be. We will then ensure that you are connected with your immediate community. Now, why is that important? That's important because if your 4 acres is connected to another 4 acres and another and another and another and all those 4 acres around you, and that patch of land is owned by I don't know, let's say a factory farm who are not respecting the land in the way that they could respect the land. Maybe there's a lot of chemicals going on to the land, or there's, the water's being polluted by the factory that's putting, stuff out into, etc. It could go on and on and on, right? But my point is that you can connect with those people around you, and together you can then challenge the landowner, because we'll make sure we find out who owns the land, and so you can have a relationship with them, and you can then make recommendations to that landowner to say, if the indigenous communities were custodians of this land, this is what they would do. They would plant this, they would not plant that, they would clean the water, they would stop putting fertilizers on the land, they would stop dumping chemicals into the river, they would, etc., etc., etc. They would stop putting plastic in the sea, because remember, you might get a plot of beach that has a nice tide coming in. You might get a rainforest, you might get a city park, you might get somebody's garden, you might get a field that's people are growing stuff on. There's all kinds of opportunities with this 4 acres earth. At this stage, it'll be randomized. So you'll just get this plot of land, and hopefully you become so in love with this plot of land that you want to begin to care for it. And so you'll connect with the people in your immediate vicinity through a community, like a social media type situation. And then you'll be given information which will tell you how you can make that land better. And then you'll challenge the owner or make recommendations as a steward for your plot out of land so that they can actually facilitate it. And now what's amazing is what we're then going to do is bring on board commercial sponsorship and monetization. And as we get money in to fund this project, we will then allocate the funding to the landowners or to the communities so they can actually get the work done, which is the recommendation. This to me is a global solution, very simple, very hopefully engaging and effective. And we need you to become the first part of this movement. So are you up for it? I hear you saying yes. Please open your phones, open your laptops, go to 4acresearth.com. Join the waiting list and you will be allocated the first people to be allocated your plot of land. This is one patch, it's one person, and it's one planet. That's our tagline. So become that one person with your one patch, and so we can actually help the whole of the planet to do what it needs to do in order for us to transition from this thing that we now know is a crisis into a rejuvenation, a regeneration, and so we can help our planet to thrive. Let's not forget, during the pandemic, when we stopped buying as much stuff, when we stopped traveling, when we simply lived a slower life and we leaned into clean through the pandemic that kept us, stopping doing the chaotic stuff that we normally do, nature began to recover really quickly. In 2 to 3 weeks, people in India that lived in Delhi or wherever it was, who had never ever seen the Himalayas because they're so far off in the distance and there was so much smog and pollution, they were able to see those mountains. There was bird song that came back in. There were deer and wildlife that came back into our neighborhoods. Everything started to grow because people weren't treading as aggressively on the land. Now, economics, this man-made monetary system started to collapse, but nature started to thrive. Now, how cool is that? So this is a project, 4acresearth.com. It's a project where you can become a part of the solution, be part of a community that has hand on heart committed to helping nature replenish itself, just like it did when we got out of the way. Now, I don't know if we're going to get out of the way in the way that we have done before because we were driven into that. But what it did do is it gave us insight of cause and effect. So this is now your opportunity to take responsibility and claim your, become a steward of your 4 acres and engage in getting that 4 acres to thrive. How cool is that? I hope you have enjoyed this idea as much as we have. This is real. It's live. I know last week when we launched this on Earth Day in New York, plenty of people signed up. I even had this amazing indigenous Indian, a Native American Indian, come up to me at the end of a talk that I did in Times Square and said to me, "I want you to come and work with us. I have 2.4 million hectares of land with Native American tribesmen, chiefs. I want you to come and have a meeting with the chiefs and tell them what you're up to. Because if we don't look after our land, the government can take it away from us. So we want to sign our physical land up to your movement." So how amazing is that? And that's one of many. We've got projects in Africa, in South America, in the UK, in fact, all over the world in the different territories that we know of. So this is your moment. Become part of the solution. Go to 4acresearth.com and sign up. I hope you've enjoyed this. This is a little while since I've done a kind of a personal show. So I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I'm going to play out with my great record called Save the World. It's by yours truly, made in partnership with Greta Thunberg to help raise money for the most affected people and areas, the young people of our world that need access to resources so they can thrive in their environment. So this is Save the World by Jarvis Smith, featuring Rita Mora, raising money for Fridays for Futures Mapper. Thank you so much. I've had a wonderful, wonderful show. It's been great. Have a gorgeous week. Don't forget to tell your friends about 4acresearth.com. This is Save the World. I'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.